Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Joe O Show.
It's your world.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
It's your world, Joe.
World is this. You're listening to the Joe Ostrowski Show, nights on 670 The Score.
All right, we'll be hanging out for 4 hours, people. So you've got to hang out with me. I'll keep you updated on all of the baseball going on. Houston still holding on to a 2-0 lead over the Yankees, but the Stros are threatening again. Bases loaded, top of 7, one out. Again, 2-0 Astros. If there's a score, I'll keep you updated right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. The game I'll really, really, really be interested in is the next one of the night. The next one. Cardinals, Nationals, Washington with a chance to sweep, rest for a week before the World Series gets going. If the Nationals sweep, that means they win the National League. And I'm a very, very happy man because I was holding out hope all year, got off to that rough start, got things together again, and look at what their pitching is doing, just shutting down St. Louis. And those big arms would get time to rest. Got them 16-1 for the National League in the middle of the year, and I know that number was a lot higher when they were going on that losing streak. I'm just bothered that I didn't keep adding on, but I'd be a very, very happy man. So maybe you'll catch that live on air. And as I just gave you that update, it's now 3-0 Astros, second and third, one out in the seventh inning. So I'll let you know if there's another score there. 7 o'clock, our buddy Dan Durkin, at DJ Durkin on Twitter. He's a terrific Bears analyst, studies the film, and he knows all about the salary cap. I want to talk about the quarterback play going on around the league and, of course, what he's seen in person from one Mitchell Trubisky. 8:40. John Mamola from down in Tampa Bay. I used to do a Saturday night show with him right here on The Score. Ooh, some of the stuff we pulled, launched, fired immediately. But thankfully, nobody in the world was listening. Did you see Mark Trestman's coaching staff? His defensive coordinator, they're going to be playing at Tampa, by the way, the Trestman team. His defensive coordinator is Jerry Glanville. Jerry Glanville. He hasn't been in the NFL since 1993. Heck of a quote. Always liked watching his Falcons teams. That'll be entertaining. I also want to talk about Jameis Winston. And you can all tie it to the Bears a little bit. Because Tampa's been waiting and waiting and waiting. And the Bears are hoping to make a decision on the Trubisky contract at the end of this season. We'll see if he convinces them that they should do that. Like Goff supposedly did last year. Or Wentz did with Philadelphia. We'll see. But we'll understand why it's important. Yeah, you probably want to make that decision before you get to that fifth-year option. And Winston's having games in which he's throwing 5 interceptions in his last year under contract at Tampa Bay. 9 o'clock hour. Joe Giglio, WIP Philadelphia. We find out yesterday, Gabe Kapler, add him to the list. Another guy interviewing with the Cubs. To find out why the Cubs should or should not bring in Kapler as their next manager, even though most of us believe that it's going to be David Ross. I hope we hear about that soon. But I haven't heard any other names that they're bringing in. They interviewed 4 guys last week, or no, that was 2 weeks ago when they had Loretta. A few guys last week, including Girardi and Ross. 2 this week. Joe Espada yesterday, the Astros bench coach. And then, of course, Kapler. I believe Kapler is today, but I haven't heard any other names. Maybe we'll get something by the end of the week. Who knows? So a lot of fun planned this evening over the next 4 hours. If you're just driving home, you didn't catch the news about the Bears. Yesterday, the bad news was about Kyle Long going to the IR. Pretty much done for the year. Maybe his career is done as well. But the bad news today was about Akeem Hicks, and you saw this coming. If you're paying attention to what they were, the players and some of the coaches were saying. Eddie Jackson was on these airwaves right after the injury, and he said, yeah, we're just hoping he can come back this year. Yesterday, Nagy says the same thing on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Same thing on the coach's show in the morning, hoping he comes back at some point this year. Then they announced today he's on IR, so he's gone for at least 8 weeks. There isn't a question which loss is more impactful to Akeem Hicks. We're talking about an all-pro still playing at that level. And Kyle Long, you can make the argument that he's been the weakness of a very bad offensive line so far. And it's clear he's been injured. He's been injured. He's probably not coming back. Now, Hicks might come back. That's what they're hoping. You're hoping you're playing for some in some meaningful games down the stretch. He's healthy enough to come back. With the rule, you're allowed to bring back two guys off of IR. So, obviously, for weeks now, the Bears have been saying amongst themselves, we really hope that he's ready at some point this season for the playoff push and the postseason that they expect to be a part of. But something I harped on all summer, potential issues that could pop up with this team, comparing 2018 and what we expect to happen in 2019. Expectations sky high. Super Bowl window here, right? You got very lucky last year. The entire John Fox era was brutal with injuries. They were on the unlucky side. Had a lucky 2018. Nagy's coach of the year. Things are going great until the playoff game against the Eagles. Part of the reason things went so well, they didn't have serious injuries. Yeah, they lost some really good players, but short periods of time. We're not talking about IR visits. When Trubisky was out, it was two games, and he returned. Allen Robinson missed three games. I don't know that he had to miss three games. Two of them against the Jets and Bills. Khalil Mack, two games. Jets and Bills. Eddie Jackson missed a couple games near the end. Bryce Callahan, four games at the very end. We're talking about your slot corner. Sure, it was impactful. They certainly missed his play, but nothing too serious. Nobody going on IR that you really, really needed. It's already happening in 2019. You've missed your quarterback for a game. Hicks on IR. Long for IR on IR. Bilal Nichols missed a couple games. Trey Burton missed the first game of the year. These are the things you need to prepare for. How deep is your roster? We're going to find out. Did they miss Hicks in London? Absolutely. Did they miss him against Minnesota? Nope, they did not because of the deep roster. It's big that Bilal Nichols is coming back. And it certainly sounds, I mean, when you got Trubisky practicing on Monday, he's going to play. He's going to play. They're not going to tell you that right now. They think they have some sort of schematic advantage by not announcing it. But you fully expect him to be back out there. But yeah, the Hicks one's brutal. Brutal. One of the top players on your team. Can't debate it. So, I know for a long time we've been saying, well, as long as Khalil Mack is healthy, this team is all right. They're going to be fine. We're going to find out pretty quickly here. As they get ready for this game against the Saints, what are they going to do against Kamara? And on the outside, what are they going to do against Thomas? And you know what's interesting is now the Saints are looking at running backs, if you haven't been paying attention. I know it's early in the week, but Kamara is hobbled a bit. It's not a guarantee that he's going to be out there. So I was just talking about being unlucky with the injury so far, but maybe luck is on your side with the opposing team. Because it doesn't sound like Drew Brees is going to be out there, and maybe Kamara's not going to be out there. Arguably, they're two most valuable players. So keep an eye on the injury reports. They start coming out tomorrow, and the final one, of course, on Friday. By the way, I will be back tomorrow. Get three shows this week. Yeah, three shows. I also have a full show on Friday. Before the bowl season kicks into gear next week. Got a chance to get a few extended shows here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Lions-Packers was entertaining, but again, we hate having these conversations, but you can't avoid it, about the officiating. We're here again. We've been here for over a decade now. They're doing things every year. They think they're adjusting it, improving it, and I don't know that it's getting any better. But the bottom line is the result is a Packers win and a Detroit loss. If it was a Lions win, they're 3-1-1 and in first place. But instead, Detroit is in last place. And I get all the arguments about, well, they should have scored touchdowns instead of field goals. Yeah, I know. But you also can't give Aaron Rodgers five downs. That's not going to work out for the defense ever. And then the Lions didn't get the ball back the last 7 minutes. Very smart play by the Packers. Kind of looked like a well-coached team to me, based on what we've seen out of LaFleur so far. I am more confused about the NFC North than I was when the season started. I am. Because now, I wondered aloud, could Detroit be good? Because anytime, as a better, when I see everybody on one side, I start to wonder about the other side. Maybe something's fishy there. Can I make an argument for that other side? And as we talked about this division all summer, nobody talked about the Lions. Nobody. You bring them up, you get laughed at. For a good reason. Right? The Lions thing, what do? Well, we know they're not going to finish the job. They're not going to be there in the end. They're not going to win the big game to get it done. They can't win the division to save their lives. So I had Aaron Schatz on from Football Outsiders about his projections for the 2019 season. This is over the summer. Here's just 40 seconds, because this took me by surprise. This is Aaron Schatz talking about the NFC North.
There's none that we feel absolutely will be in the postseason. None of the teams that were in last place a year ago do we have projected as a postseason team. The closest, and I know this will come as a surprise, is Detroit. I personally was surprised with what our numbers came up with for Detroit. But you have to remember that they were pretty good 2 years ago, and the teams that decline significantly do tend to rebound the following year. We like a lot of the talent that they added this offseason, and just like the Bears were really high in takeaways last year, the Lions' defense was really low in takeaways last year. And like I said before, the NFC North is the closest division in our numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, we could definitely see the Bears decline. All they would have to do is win like one more game than our average projection, and they could win the division at 9-7. Like, it's completely not out of the range of possibility.
That was Aaron Schatz with me over the summer, Football Outsiders. My question, okay, where's the worst to first team? And he brought up Detroit as a possibility. Now, I'm not here saying that they're going to do that, but hey, there's a shot. They had a win taken away from them last night. But honestly, I don't know which team's the best, and I don't know which team's the worst. If you want to say the Packers at 5-1, okay, I can meet you there. With the Rodgers that we saw with no receivers, another win without Davante Adams, his number one weapon far and away on the team. Bunch of nobodies he's playing with out there, and they're still getting it done. And now they have a defense. Mike Pettine got some weapons on his side of the ball, and now we're seeing what can happen. So, yeah, that's fair if you want to say, well, clearly Green Bay is the best team in the division right now. But I can't figure out which team is the worst. Now, most divisions around the league, that's really clear. Right away, you say, oh, that's the worst team. That's the worst team. I hear a lot of people say that the NFC North is the best division. I'm not going there. It's definitely the deepest because you go four deep. It's the deepest, but I wouldn't say it's the best. So just sticking on the NFC side, you go to the East. Well, Washington's the worst. In the South, this year, it's clearly Atlanta. They have no defense. They have some offensive talent. They just can't get it together. I can't believe Dan Quinn hasn't been fired already. In the West, there's a divide with the Cardinals. They're much worse than anyone else. In the AFC side, in the North, certainly Cincinnati. In the East, of course, it's Miami. They're trying to lose, doing everything they possibly can. In the West, you can throw it up between the Chargers and Broncos right now. See, this is how quickly things change in this league. It looked like that Chargers game a week from now for the Bears is going to be so tough. Now it's a, well, they better win that game because that should be easy. They don't have an offensive line right now. That happens during an NFL season. So I posted a Twitter poll last night. I was a little surprised by the results. Had about 2,000 votes. And the question was, okay, which team is the worst? We have 6 weeks of football in. Bears are now coming off the bye. Sit back, watch the rest of the league. Do we know which team is the worst in the NFC North? Because everybody thought it was Detroit coming in. It's not Detroit. They may sit there right now, but just based on what I see, I don't think they're the worst team. Now, maybe they will be in the end. And the reason I was surprised by the results was half the people that voted said the Bears are the worst team in the division. Are we there already? Spending a summer talking about a Super Bowl window, championship defense. We say it again and again every day on this station. Guilty as charged. I'm part of that. Are the Bears the worst team in the NFC North? What is the worst team? It's hard to figure out. That's why that's the deepest division in my mind. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. Best division's the West. Aaron Schatz in that clip brought up takeaways. Detroit didn't have takeaways last year. Probably going to come the other way, and they're going to have some takeaways this year, and that'll flip some games. San Francisco. It's 7 takeaways last year. They've already lapped that number. It's a terrific defensive line. They have a real defense. Now, in the first few games, if you want to make the argument about the opponents they played, fine. But the Rams are supposed to roll in a desperate spot. At home against the Niners. The Niners come off Monday Night Football and they crushed them. The final score may not have said that, a 2-score game. They crushed them. McVay was outcoached. 6 weeks into the season, that Goff signing looks like a huge mistake by LA. Hey, we got to the Super Bowl. We got our young guy 3 years in. Let's sign him to the extension. That's what worries me about the Bears. If they see something positive, are they going to jump too soon? What team is the worst in the NFC North? I think you can make all sorts of arguments. I had about 10% of people that were saying Green Bay's the worst. Too many of their wins are fraudulent. I don't know. They look like a very balanced team right now, and they have the best quarterback in the division. So I don't know that I'm going to buy that one. You could try and sell me on it, but I'm probably not going to buy it just because of the Aaron Rodgers factor. I was crushed when I said that Trubisky's the worst quarterback in the division until proven otherwise. And that's not even a debate anymore. It's not even close. He's a distant fourth. Prove us wrong. Coming back from the injury this summer, this Sunday, and then also next week against the Chargers. Both home games set up in a good spot. I mean, this is not the Chargers team that we've seen with double-digit wins over the last couple of years. I was talking about it with Herb before the show, and I know everybody's talking about it. Yeah, it feels like a must-win game. You go 3-3 with this schedule coming up, it's going to be tough. Real tough. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in. And as far as Detroit goes, and the easy thing to say is, well, they're Detroit. I don't trust Patricia. Okay, fine. That's fair. Well, let's look at the evidence. So week one, they have the tie. It should have been a win at Arizona. And for some reason, the results of week one will stay in our brain all year long or most of the year. Much more than week 2, 3, 4, or 5. They beat the Chargers. They won at the Eagles. They lost on the last possession of the game against the Chiefs. And then last night against Green Bay. They were set up to fail early in the season. They're sitting 2-2-1. I don't know how you aren't impressed with this team. Wins against the Chargers and Eagles. You can make the argument could have been, should have been a win against the Packers. And then Mahomes didn't throw a touchdown against their defense. Put up some points. But he didn't throw a touchdown. And they needed that very last drive. Remember, there was also a defensive score, too. I mean, you could say that they outplayed the Chiefs. That's a real team. I'm not saying they're the worst. But I don't know where you go right now. I think that's why half the people said the Bears. The Bears. Little surprised by that. But if the quarterback-head coach combo means much more than anything else, yeah. I mean, which head coaches are proven in this division? That's the other thing. You're kind of making a projection. Reggie in North Park, you're on 670, The Score with Joe Ostrowski.
Hey, I was just going to say, I think this is a very competitive division, obviously, as you pointed out. I mean, every team is over 500.
Yep.
And you have, I mean, I think being the worst team in this division is like saying you're the worst among some very good teams. It's not bad company. I mean, the whole league this year, there's not a team I can think of other than the Patriots that doesn't have like, oh yeah, but flaw. But I think looking at the quarterback situation, like you just brought up, if every team in this division has a good defense, and they all do, I mean, at different levels, obviously, but they all have good defenses, then you look down, okay, where's the rest of their talent and who has the best quarterback? And honestly, I mean, are you picking Trubisky over any of those other guys?
Maybe He's fourth. It's easy. He's fourth.
Yeah, he's fourth. It's easy. Yeah. So, I mean, that just – and again, if they're all of their defenses are really good, and they are, then you look at the other, you know, factors of where the rest of their talent is. Is it their running game, their receivers? But you always turn back to who's their quarterback. And again, I think it's got to be the Bears. But that doesn't mean the Bears are one of the worst teams. You know what I mean? Because it's a good –
here's my concern, Reggie. This, you're right. It's such a competitive division that they beat up on each other with all the division games, and then at the end, there's no wild card from the division.
No, that's very true. But I think you also fall into the, and this is so hard to do like in football, the whole transitive property trap of like,
right.
Well, if they beat them, then they beat them. It's kind of like, well, the Packers lost to this team, to this Eagles team, but this team beat the Eagles team. The Vikings lost, but you know, you
can't play that game. You can't play that game, but this Detroit schedule has been impressive.
No, I was very impressed with Detroit last night. I got to say, like, I think Patricia has them going the right direction. But I will say this, too, about Detroit and their freakish losses or ties is that good teams find a way to win and bad teams find ways to lose. I mean, sometimes, obviously, the refs, I think, screw them this one. But, I mean, like, bad teams just seem to find ways. Like, I don't know what else you could say.
Belichick's teams are always in a position to win. They know every single rule. Like that a lot of other teams don't understand. They know every way to get an advantage. And sometimes they're cheating. But they kind of got away with it. Fine. I don't think Kraft really cares. Whatever. Take this way? Okay, whatever. We're still going to win because we're the Patriots. Good stuff from Reggie North Park. 312-644-6767. And now with Detroit. See, this is why this is so important, because they had the island game. A lot of you guys were watching that Packers-Lions game and saying, oh, okay, they are for real. Okay. So you knew the schedule was going to be tougher because you win the division last year. But now it's probably tougher than you thought because you didn't realize that the fourth-place team was actually legit. Another challenge for the Bears, and they've already had a lot of them. Keem Hicks goes on injured reserve today. 312-644-6767. 7 o'clock, we'll check in with our buddy Dan Durkin, talk about Mitch Trubisky, a film breakdown of him, and everything else going on with some of the other quarterbacks around the league, some of the young ones that we can compare to Trubisky. The Joe O Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The long snap is there. Ball put down. The right-footed kick is away and good! Green Bay has their first lead of the game. Crosby runs to the side. It will do the Lambeau leap. Zeros on the clock. Fireworks shoot. The Packers have won! 23-22 in a thriller in Lambeau.
Good!
Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Northwestern Football. Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats, led by Big Ten Coach of the Year, Pat Fitzgerald, host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota. Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see. Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at NUSports.com. Joe Ostrowski with you. 670 The Score. Kevin Harlan on the call. Westwood 1. You heard it here on The Score last night. Thanks for hanging out. And the lines are real. If you haven't seen them this year, they're real. I'm trying to figure out the bottom part. This team's the worst. You have to make the argument that the Packers are the best, right? Every team has a strong division. Packers have the best quarterback. And then if you try to rank them, I think you can easily slot in Rodgers 1, Trubisky 4, and then 2-3. You can have a debate over that with Stafford and Cousins. But it's tough. It's tougher than people thought it was going to be. And the fourth place line sitting at 500, they're a threat. Now you can't say, oh, well, you're going to sweep them every time. Thanksgiving game, right? This year again? 312-644-6767. You missed the big news today. Akeem Hicks is now on IR. The Bears, remember they were saying yesterday, they hope he's back at some point this year. Eddie Jackson was saying the same thing this morning on The Score with the Mully and Haw show. So injuries have hit them hard early. And they can deal with the long thing. The guy was playing hurt. That was pretty clear. So which guy will be out there on Sunday? That's a big question. And it certainly sounds like Trubisky will be back, at least. And the same thing, it sounds like, with Gabriel and Nichols. So there's some good news there. Sean in Seneca, or rather Shane in Seneca, you're on 670 The Score. Hey, Shane.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think it's this simple. I think teams are what the record says they are. I think at this point of the season, there's so much parity. Anybody can beat anybody. I mean, look at last week in England. The Raiders went. They beat the Bears. They shouldn't have. The Bears could have lost in Denver. And I mean, it could change in several weeks from now, but that's what I see.
And as far as that Denver game, I can relate this to last night with Detroit. So we don't talk about it that much because we're moving on. The Bears got the win. Okay, cool. They're still obsessing about that one game in Denver, by the way. And maybe they should be. Whether we're talking about the Chubb call or the 1 second left on the clock. I've always found that these things seem to even themselves out. So because it was an island game, Monday night football, the baseball was over. A lot of sports fans were watching that game. The penalties have been so frustrating this season and for a long, long time. That much of the conversation was about how the Lions got completely robbed. And I say these things even themselves out because I go back a few weeks. Maybe a lot of people didn't pay attention, but if you look at the box score, you have these games where one team will outgain the other by hundreds and lose. That's what happened in the Lions-Chargers game. Looks like a pretty good win for the Lions, but the Chargers should have won that game. You know what the Chargers did? They chargered it up, like if that's a thing. What we say about the Lions, a lot of people say about the Chargers, too. That's what happened in that game. Well, somebody had to lose, and somebody had to win. Chargers should have won that game. Lions probably should have won last night, and they end up with a loss. So a lot of the times these things balance. So when are the Bears going to get screwed? Is that going to come up before the end of the regular season? The new sportsbook at Ameristar East Chicago has all the action, real-time odds, and the best prop bets. Plus, with fast 24-hour betting kiosks, there's no waiting. So grab the crew and come to the new sportsbook to Ameristar East Chicago. Must be 21. To learn more, see the My Choice Center. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Joe Ostrowski here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's check in with John in Rockford. Hello, John.
Hey, Joe. I appreciate all the Lions love. We got a small contingent in our house of Lions fans. Oh. But I don't think this team is real. I think they're mediocre, but they're still in a rebuild from last year with the new coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And they are grossly overplayed if you think they're real. Their defense collapses. Not really collapses, but they give up the ghost in the second and third quarters when they lose all their leads.
John, I'll let you continue in a second. When I say they're real, what I'm saying is when you have them on the schedule, it is not a bye like some teams at the very bottom this year. You're going to be challenged, and you might end up with a split.
Yeah, that's probably fair because I was listening to Lions fans this morning just to hear all the hubbub about last night. I think the referee is a real easy, simple narrative to latch onto. But if you looked at that game, five field goals, come on. You know, you can't win with five field goals at Lambeau Field. You got to punch it in. And then you have 12 guys, too many men on the field for an extra point, and you give them a first down. Seriously? That happens all the time. And when we see that as Lions fans, we're like, all right, here we go. Very Lion-y again. And it happens all the time.
John, how are you a Lions fan and you don't jump ship at some point?
Because I'm a giant sucker, that's why.
Thank you, John. We all do it. Sometimes I go up to the Sox fans here, and they're always complaining, and they have a lot of reason to complain. I'm saying, like, what? Okay, if you know what's going to happen, you think they're going to fail in free agency, why are you still a Sox fan? You can leave. Do whatever.
We can't leave, Joe.
Yes, you can.
Well, they know we can't.
You don't
can't
have
leave.
To go to the Cubs.
Well, that's half the thing. They know that
you're
Sox
Padres.
Fans...
You're half Padres
no,
now.
I can watch National.
You're 80% Padres now. 90.
No, I'm not. But they know.
Are you
the
on
White
Padres
Sox
Twitter
know that
too?
We're not leaving.
Are you arguing with the Padres TV analysts on Twitter?
No.
You are
I'm...
Steve Stone.
No, I never would do that. They're great though.
Ted Leitner.
Mud Grant. I mean, who could argue with Mud Grant?
I'm just wondering if you are.
Never would.
Because I see we wouldn't see those interactions as much. But everybody here is following Stoney and you arguing at 1 a.m.
It's because Stoney, I don't know, has gone crazy on Twitter.
You can't leave, though, Herb?
No, and the White Sox know that White Sox fans, for the most part, can't leave the White Sox for another American League team. They're going to go to the Cubs, ever.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You put a lot of work in and a lot of hard years
Herb,
in for the White Sox.
Don't work.
Yeah, a lot of work. Watching the White Sox game is work. And so you can't let all those years go. And you've already seen that. You've already felt when it goes well, it's like the best thing of all time. So I'm chasing that dragon still.
Yeah, almost 15 years ago.
Forever.
Like I love messing with you. I'm always like, hey, 50 million short. You're like, yeah, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen.
We're resigned to that fate.
You are. A lot of people are not.
That's because they're dumb. They like the football snatched from them. They're Charlie Brown.
Exactly. Jim and Homewood, you're on 670, The Score.
Yeah. Well, when I hang up, I want you all to remember this phrase. Decisions have consequences. Mm-hmm. We never should have let Howard go. And I'm not saying Howard was a great back, but he was serviceable. And because you could depend on him, it would allow a young quarterback to learn. To have a rookie running back and a third-year quarterback, show me any team that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, Super Bowl bound has done that. And if you can't, it's probably an outlier. You're in the Midwest where we're going to have to run.
Yep.
Because it's going to get cold.
Yep.
We have a rookie there, so it's not an indictment on Montgomery. Montgomery can be good, but he's a rookie. He has to learn. So that's why the decision to divorce himself from Howard made no sense to me. Howard had 3 years of almost 1,000 yards. Again, not great, but serviceable. It allowed Mitch to learn. Now that you don't have a running game, not because Montgomery's off, just because he's a rookie, he's got to learn a whole lot. They're going to put 8-9 in the box, so it's not going to allow Mitch to learn.
Jim,
so
here's the problem. If Jordan Howard was in this backfield, he's not producing. Just watch the line. There are no holes. There is nowhere to go.
But at least he was a quality back where he could find a few holes. And he would get the respect of the other team. Montgomery doesn't. So I don't think it's going to end well with Mitch.
If you're really upset about that, that's on the coach too. Because he didn't even want him. He wasn't using him for the first, I don't know, three quarters of the season. Then he finally got some run as the weather turned.
That's why I said decisions have consequences. I mean, Howard was serviceable, and the fact that they went away from Howard, they're going to pay for it, and they're paying for it now. And Mitch is going to be the scapegoat. Mitch is going to be the one who's going to be criticized, and unfortunately, he's going to get a lot of criticism because they have some tough games coming up, and with no running game, when it's 20 to 15 degrees, what are they going to do? So I can foresee an 8-8 season, 7-9, and I'm telling you, the criticism is going to come raining down. And unfortunately, Montgomery's going to be swept up in that criticism too. And that's when I said sometimes the fans don't look at the big picture. They don't look at all of these decisions that have consequences. So
I got you, Jim. Thank you so much. Appreciate the phone call.
The only problem
anybody's criticizing Montgomery. I think most people understand that Howard wouldn't be able to do anything in this specific situation right now either. And by the way, where's the production from Tariq Cohen too? It starts with the line, but it's everywhere. The only guy that you can't criticize on offense is Allen Robinson, and that is it.
That was not my dad, by the way. Somebody asked on the
text. Who said that?
Text
your dad.
Asked. Yeah. But the only thing wrong with his premise is that last year Howard was 3.5 yards per carry. This year Montgomery's 3.3.
And he would only – so, okay, almost the same.
Negligible.
Yeah, so – and Nagy would do what? Run him up the middle. Wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, like
there's so many. It's not just the O line. I'll talk about this with Dan Durkin at the top of the hour. It's also that he can't run his offense because the quarterback doesn't understand his offense. But a lot of blame has to go with Nagy too. The great ones, find a way. And I'm not saying that they had to keep Howard, but he should have been able to work with him last year, and he wasn't able to.
A year and a half should be plenty of time for Matt Nagy to know what he has and what he doesn't. And if he doesn't have the quarterback that can run his offense in particular, gear his offense down to what that quarterback does well and or running back does well.
Yeah.
I mean that's what the Mike Martz conundrum comes in. He wanted people to fit into his system instead of him fitting into their system.
Yes. If that's still happening at the end of this season, the second one with Trubisky and Nagy together, how do you give him a contract? You can't, right? Okay, let's go to year four of the rookie deal. They wanted to make that call.
All right.
Because that means things are going well.
Joe, we got a little breaking news. I don't know if we have a breaking news sounder or anything. Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport are both reporting that Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the LA Rams for two first-round picks in 2020 and 2021 and a fourth-round pick in 2021. What the hell are the Rams doing?
Dude, so we praise the Rams again and again. By the way, they've lost three games in a row now. But they have the genius. They made the Super Bowl. He was pantsed in the Super Bowl by Belichick. That's happened to many coaches. But I don't know what the front office is doing. The Goff contract is going to kill that team. They knew Todd Gurley was hurt, and they paid him. And right after they hand out these big contracts, it's clear that those are big mistakes.
They paid for Jalen Ramsey much more than the Bears paid for Khalil Mack. Because the Bears, remember, got a second-round pick, which is essentially a late first-round pick this upcoming year. They paid a lot for Jalen Ramsey, who might not be the guy that...
Oh, boy.
You
Their window's going to close quick. The season might be already gone because Seattle and San Francisco are so good.
All breaking news is powered by Radio.com. Sports is brought to you by the midsize Metris from Mercedes-Benz.
All right, thank you, Mike Chen. 312-644-6767. 15 minutes, we'll check in with Dan Durkin about the quarterback play around the league, but also discussing which NFC North team is the worst after 6 weeks of play. If you want to react to that news, Bears not involved in those conversations because they have no capital. They don't have any draft picks. They've all been traded away by one Ryan Bears. Pace. Joe Ostrowski on the score. That guy wasn't going to play. They got two ones for him. Jalen Ramsey to the Rams. Just went down minutes ago. Wow. So the full trade was two ones? And they... My God. I'm looking at these contracts. I hope Pace is paying attention. See, at least the Rams got to the Super Bowl. So that's one thing I guess they're always going to point to. Like, did Les Snead ruin the team with these contracts? Maybe. But we played in a Super Bowl. And we have Sean McVay. So maybe it could happen again and everything falls right. My God. Okay, you've got to pay Aaron Donald. You can't mess that up. I get it. 6 for $135, $86 million guaranteed. Jared Goff, not even a half a season after signing this deal. He signed through 2025. They gave him $110 million guaranteed. Brandon Cooks hasn't done much. He got 5 for $81 million. Todd Gurley, bad knees out of college. Injured as a pro, let's overpay him. $45 million guaranteed, 4 for $57 million. Keeb Tlaib, he's injured. 6 for $57 million, $25.5 million guaranteed. And then this huge trade. I guess they're in the Super Bowl window, coming off a Super Bowl appearance. But they've sacrificed the future of the club. And this is why you have to look at it with the Bears, because what's been happening? Many have praised Pace because he targets his guy and he goes and gets his guy. Leonard Floyd, trade, got to have him, move up. David Montgomery, well, we need our running back, our every down back. Well, let's make a trade. We got to move up and get him in the third round. We know about the Trubisky. I mean, it just keeps happening. Anthony Miller. And the problem is, those guys aren't producing. That's the problem. If they were producing, it's not a problem. I get it. Cool. Nice evaluation. Do the Bears have an evaluation problem on offense? It looks like they do so far. My grandma could have told you, you go sign Allen Robinson, best wide receiver on the market. You don't have any receivers. Hey, get rid of this trash you do have. Go get Allen Robinson. Okay, fine. I'm going to praise him for that one. I think that was pretty obvious to everyone. They were in position to get Mac. Okay, good. And you pulled it off. I just would really hope to look back one day and say, with this championship defense, did you win a playoff game? Or which should have been a championship defense? What did you do with it in Khalil Mack's prime? You get Roquan. Akeem Hicks. Now, he's on IR. We don't know if he's going to come back this year. Let's talk about some quarterbacks. We'll do that next. I was sitting on my couch on Sunday as the Bears were on bye. I'm looking around the league, and yeah, you had some young guys step up, say, wow, where'd they find this guy? Minshew struggled, but he's had a nice year so far stepping in, especially as a six-round draft pick. Oh, Kyle Allen went undrafted. He keeps winning games. Then there was some awful quarterback play, too. So what's going on with the quarterbacks? Because sometimes it looks like there's a lot of quarterbacks who can play, and sometimes it looks like there's just a few handful. I'll have a conversation with Dan Durkin next. My name is Joe Ostrowski. You've got Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.